Continuing in Hebrews chapter 4, again with verse 14, after just taking a look at the fact that God makes it clear that His word is so mighty, so alive, and so active that it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And we found out that God bases His decision on our eternity based on His full knowledge of what's happening with our hearts, our thoughts, our attitudes. Verse 14, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let us continually hold on. Let us keep holding on firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Can you imagine that? Someone so awesome that He was tempted in every way that we're tempted, but never yielded to any of the temptations, and therefore never sinned. What an awesome example to follow. What an awesome person to follow. Jesus, the Son of God. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So important to read the Bible in context and leave the principles in their proper context, so that we get the proper meaning of what is being conveyed in the context. He's letting us know that our great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted in every way that we were tempted, that we are tempted, but He never sinned. He's someone we can look up to. He's someone we can count on. And remember again, this letter was written to saints who were experiencing severe persecution. And again, the goal of persecution is to get the people who are following God to give up on the faith, to turn away from it. That is the goal. So that in the end, those who once were so close to God will still end up in hell and eventually in the lake of fire. And I know that there are a lot of people who teach that once you're saved, you're always saved. You need to study the scriptures very, very carefully and very honestly to see what God has to say about that. Even in chapter 5, He's teaching us. In chapter 4, He's teaching us. In chapter 3, He's letting us know these are people who were following God, but they kept disobeying. They kept rebelling. And finally, God cut them off. And He declared on oath that they would never enter His rest. Who's in charge? Hebrews chapter 3 teaches that people can be following God and make a decision they no longer want to be with Him, and they'll pay the price. They will never enter His rest. Chapter 4 teaches the same thing. Chapter 5 teaches the same thing. If you really want to know what God teaches about once saved, always saved, study the entire book of Hebrews carefully. Take your time. Start with chapter 1 and take your time reading all the way through it. See what God says to you about that. But in the meantime, we're focusing on communicating with God. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. I know the King James Version says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. And a lot of people interpret that as meaning we can talk to God any way we want to. We can point our finger at his face, remind him of what he promised, and demand that he come through according to his promise. Demand it. The NIV and some of the other translations get the point across better. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy. We're going to the grace, to the throne, asking for mercy, looking for grace that will help us when we are in times of need, specifically when we need strength to help us keep marching forward with the Lord, so that we don't give up and allow the meanness of the persecutors to persuade us to walk away from God. This is where the stakes are as high as they can get. And that's not a time that we go before the throne of the King and point our finger in his face, looking up at him and demanding that he come through for us with the next car that we want, the next healing we want, the next house we want. We go before the throne of grace, confident that our Lord is going to hear our request and give us the strength we need, give us the courage we need, give us the boldness that we need to stay with him no matter what our persecutors do, no matter what they threaten. Communicating with God above all others is about respecting God, acknowledging him as our King, our great King. So when we're communicating effectively with God, we're communicating by listening with respect and by talking in a respectful manner, believing him and trusting in him, finding out what he has to say about the matter, and trusting that he will come through. You know, we have been trained so much by materialistic people to find the scriptures that say we can get the house, we can get the car, we'll get more money, we can get the material. I want to encourage you. As I've said before, there's nothing wrong with us having whatever material goods God has determined that each of us as individuals will have. There's nothing wrong with us having as family any material benefits that God has determined we're to have. But again, keep everything in their proper context. This isn't talking about material goods. This is talking about getting what our souls, our minds, our spirits, our brains need in order to strengthen us to keep walking with God, no matter how difficult God's enemies and our enemies make life for us. And so it's important for us to realize that one of the things we can do when it comes to communicating effectively with God is recognizing that we can trust him to come through for us and give us the strength and the courage we need to keep following him, to keep loving him, to keep trusting him, even when life is at its worst. Communicating with him because we love him and we trust him. And we love and trust him because he first loved us and has a certain level of confidence in us. Till next time.